No one in his senses could have expected to embark on such a course as this one with impunity. No sane man would suppose that he could speak Dr. Castro's words, proclaim his aggressive intentions, carry out his policies of intervention and subversion, and at the same time retain the full confidence and respect of Cuba's sister republics in the Americas. It is not the United States which is the cause of Dr. Castro's trouble. It is Dr. Castro himself. It is not Washington which has turned so many thousands of his fellow countrymen against his regime. Men who fought beside him in the Cuban hills, men who risked their lives for him in the underground movements in Cuban cities, men who lined Cuban streets to hail him as the liberator from tyranny, men who occupied the most important places in the first government of the Cuban Revolution. It is these men who constitute the threat, if threat there is, to Dr. Castro's hope of consolidating his power and intensifying his tyranny. It is not Dr. Castro's own policy which has deprived these men of the hope of influencing his regime by democratic methods of free elections. I say it is Dr. Castro's own policy, his policy, which has deprived these men of the hope of influencing his regime by democratic methods of free elections and representative government. It is Dr. Castro who, by denying Cuban citizens constitutional recourse, has driven them toward the desperate alternatives of resistance, just as Batista once did. Let us be absolutely clear in our minds who these men are. They are not supporters of Batista. They fought as passionately and as bravely against Batista as Dr. Castro himself. They are not champions of the old order in Cuba. They labored day and night, as long as they could, to realize the promises of the Cuban Revolution. And they, for their pains, they are now characterized as mercenaries and traitors. They will not turn the clock back, either to the tyranny of Batista or the tyranny of Castro. They stand for a new and a brighter Cuba, which will genuinely realize the pledge which Dr. Castro has betrayed, the pledge of bread with freedom. The problem which the United States confronts is our attitude toward such men as these. 3 years ago, many American citizens looked with sympathy on the cause espoused by Castro and offered hospitality to his followers in their battle against the tyranny of Batista. We cannot expect Americans today to look with less sympathy on those Cubans who, out of love for their country and for liberty, now struggle against the tyranny of Castro. If the Castro regime has hostility to fear, it is the hostility of Cubans, not of Americans. If today Castro's militia are hunting down guerrillas in the hills where Castro himself once fought, they are hunting down Cubans, not Americans. If the Castro regime is overthrown, it will be overthrown by Cubans, not by Americans. I do not see that it is the obligation of the United States to protect Dr. Castro from the consequences of his treason to the promises of his revolution, to the hopes of the Cuban people, and to the democratic aspirations of the Western Hemisphere. It is because Dr. Castro has turned his back on the inter-American system that this debate marks so tragic a moment for all citizens of our hemisphere. It is tragic to watch the historic aspirations of the Cuban people once again thwarted by tyranny. It is tragic to see bitterness rise within a family of nations united by so many bonds of common memory and of common hope. It is tragic to watch a despotic regime drive its own people toward violence and toward bloodshed. The United States looks with distress and with anxiety on such melancholy events. Our only hope is that the Cuban tragedy may awaken the people and the governments of the Americas to a profound resolve, a resolve to concert every resource and energy to advance the cause of economic growth and of social progress throughout the hemisphere, but to do so under conditions of human freedom and of political democracy. This cause represents the real revolution of the Americas. To this struggle to expand freedom and abundance and education and culture for all the people, all citizens of the New World, the free states of the hemisphere summon all the people in nations where freedom and independence are temporarily in eclipse. We confidently expect that Cuba will be restored to the American community and will take a leading role to win social reform and economic opportunity, human dignity, and democratic government, not just for the people of Cuba, but for all of the people of our hemisphere. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.